My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
So sometimes as a coach coming in, you may be walking on eggshells, and I just kind of put that to bed. Like, it's not, nobody's sensitive in here. You know, we want to win games just as bad as you do, and it's a collaborative effort in everything. This is not Pop Warner. You know, this is, we work together side by side to get things done, and yeah, that's really what my message was.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
So that is the 40-year-old adult, Mercedes Lewis, last week in talking about what the Bears did after the Colts loss. They communicated, I guess it's 2 weeks ago, Mercedes Lewis talking about how the leadership council talked to some other players, to some coaches, about making sure that they did some things that the players thought they needed to do, and making sure, it seemed to us, that they get coached up, that it's okay to coach up the oldest to the youngest. And Mercedes Lewis seemed to have made an impact on the Bears coaches, or so we thought.
Well, and we were looking at it and thinking, yeah, when he goes the oldest to the youngest, when he's talking, is he talking about the rookies? Is he saying, you know, you can coach them hard too? And it made for, I think, a really interesting conversation that we've had over the last week on what's valuable from that and what's not. So this morning, a listener, I think it's Leo, he said to me, he's like, did you hear the Stacey Dales interview? And I was like, no, I didn't check it out. So I went and checked it out. And I'm glad that I did. Stacey Dales does an incredible job covering the NFL for NFL Network.
Agreed. She's really, really good and a former athlete. She was great when she co-hosted with David Haw, actually. She thinks like an athlete and knows her stuff, and she gets it on a lot of levels and has access on a lot of levels.
It's just outstanding and a really wonderful person on top of that. Her conversations with Mully and Haw are great. I think there's a lot of mutual respect out of the three of them in that triangle. And it's good. And sometimes she gives stuff and you go, wait, what just happened? And that's what happened with me this morning, where I'm listening back to this and I'm going, there's some meat on the bone. Mm. Now, did you go back and listen to it?
I haven't had a chance to. I'm going to listen to it with you, knowing all the context and how you've been raving about it. I'm excited about it.
Okay, so the Mercedes Lewis stuff is in there. There's some stuff in here about Shane Waldron and how he's gone about doing the offense that I think deserves a lot more conversation. This was Stacey Dales this morning talking with Mully and Haw about how the Bears offense functions.
One of the things that Mercedes did is he went to Matt Eberflus and he said, you got to coach us. We have to be coached. I'm a 19-year vet in the NFL. And if you can coach me, you got to coach these rookies. There has to be something that shifts. So all the offensive captains went to Flus, and he then said, you guys need to go to Shane Waldron, and you need to tell him this. Well, that was an amazing meeting, and one of the things I discovered is they didn't have a first 15. You know, Shane was more so looking for, like, he had suggestions, and, you know, this is new for him, too. He's got a rookie quarterback, and so I think, like, what can he handle may have gone into that without necessarily overwhelming. But I was shocked by it, to be honest with you, Mully. I was really surprised because it's almost vital for these quarterbacks to have, like Kevin O'Connell calls it, a priority call sheet. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't follow it sequentially. Right. So as he explained it to me last week, because I had their game last week, it might be, we're going to go the first, you know, the second, number two and number three on the priority call sheet of 20, and then we're going to jump to 17. And it's all based on down and distance. It's all based on coverage. What coverage are they in? What formation are they in defensively? And now you've repped those things all week, and you give that list to the players, and you can play kind of error-free football because there should be really no mistake made. I mean, that's where you get 11 on the same page. So I don't want to over-dramatize it, but I do think it's interesting. And I think that it has helped the Bears to be a little bit, have a little bit more offensive conviction, which has helped their rookie quarterback.
Does it give you more or less confidence in Shane Waldron?
More, absolutely more. Mercedes, my takeaway, it was such a productive meeting because you have the four captains offensively. Forget the defense for a second. You have Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, and Mercedes Lewis. Having this really accepting, that was the word he used, accepting conversation of like, oh yeah, I like that. I like that. Okay, I accept that. I accept this. A lot of accountability. How can we, how can we be solution oriented? And when you're able to have those conversations, and that's why Mercedes, like if you're wondering if you're a Bears fan listening right now, like why is he on, he doesn't play a whole lot. Well, he's a basically another coach who's been around a bevy of quarterbacks, and he's one of the smartest people I've ever talked to, you know, in life. So I just think for him to start all this with going to Flus and then, you know, and what would you do, right? You got a rookie quarterback. Do you think Caleb was ready to go in week two and be like, you know, he knows that he has a lot to learn. He told us that. He's like, he's got a ways to go in terms of his knowledge of this thing we call the NFL. But I really think it was productive. I think Shane probably was trying to figure out like how to coach the rookie phenom, right? Like, so I think that, you know, there was some gray area on both sides, and now you come together and there's a little bit more clarity in the middle, which is, I think, why we're seeing some improvements offensively and more complementary football with the running backs involved. I would love some time to follow up. They wanted a vision. I think everybody wanted it. Caleb wanted it. They wanted, you know, especially, you know, a comfort level to start a game. And again, this was just my conversation with Mercedes. I would like to do more follow-up with it. But yeah, I'm just curious to know like why that wasn't happening in the first 3 weeks. I need to go back and look into my notes a little bit too, but like Shane had suggestions, but I'm not quite sure that they knew what could be handled. But again, I need to be able to talk to him to comment on that.
That's a good way to approach it.
Wow.
Ready to buy that condo over in Worrytown now?
No, because I think the players have stepped up and salvaged a terrifying situation. To me, this confirms the storylines we've been lived through to an even greater extent, that Shane Waldron was an overwhelmed offensive coordinator who, for whatever reason, was freaked out about coaching a rookie and installing everything he was doing and didn't even get to a first 15 plays or the priority call sheet that Kevin O'Connell calls. So the quarterback and the offense doesn't even know. Of course, they don't know what their identity is. The offensive coordinator hasn't told them what it is. That's where your identity is in what you're setting up so you can then do fakes off of and build things off of, the very essence of offense. It's horrifying that he wasn't doing it. Thank God the players stepped up the way they did. I think when Mark Grody told us yesterday, when he said, you know, I think that Colts loss is going to be a very important loss because of what they did, I think it's absolutely correct. I'm just now, I'll tell you where I'm worried, Lawrence, is zooming out and looking at the NFC. If we get to the end of the year and this extra loss against the Colts that might have been avoidable if they had a freaking identity in a first 15 plays, that's when I'll worry and be upset about what has already happened. In terms of where we are right now, I'm actually feeling pretty good about it.
So there's a couple of things when it comes to the scripted plays. And I would say to anyone who thought that was an interesting segment to go listen back to the whole segment, because it was great, because you have Stacey there giving you that information, plus two guys who covered the NFL for a really long time. So they were able to kind of give their point of view on it, and I can add in mine in agreement with a lot of what David and Mully had to say about it. With the first 15, there's a couple of different ways to do it. Some offensive play callers will look at it as, this is what we're running. Some play callers will look at it as, this is what we're best at. Some play callers will look at it as, we're going to run some of this so that we can figure out what to run later on.
Yeah.
That you're playing depth finder a little bit, where you're saying, well, we're going to run this here, and then this will allow us to either pare down or add to what it is. The other part of it that I think you can be worried about as a Bears fan, and hopefully it has been corrected, usually that group of plays are the plays that you know you can get. They're the ones that you've practiced over and over and over again, and you feel confident that they're going to work against anybody, but specifically the team that you're playing that particular week. Ideally, what you are doing in those moments is before the game adjust, and then you have to adjust back, is you're saying, we have dissected this team on tape. Because we have dissected this team on tape, we have looked at what we do offensively, and these are the plays where we feel like we can attack them.
All right, and to that point, that does worry me, because if he was just getting around to doing this, you wonder if he's too overwhelmed to do that from week to week and add that to the mix.
That was striking to hear that.
It is striking to hear that there was no first 15 and that there was no priority list of what they're going to do. And it makes you think about what Wani called the Rolodex of running plays that came out. Makes you think about the worst of the Matt Nagy era, when I think David Hall was the one who coined it as he's a play collector more than an offensive coordinator. He's a play collector. He's like, oh, look at this, and look how fun this is, and look how fun that is. And that's what Waldron's offense looked like in those first couple of weeks. But maybe Mercedes has been able to helpfully spearhead something that drags Waldron into a much more adult version of offensive coordination.
And it might be a situation of comfort, too. Like, I want to give Shane Waldron that grace of him trying to figure out, like, what it is that, like Stacey said, like, what they can and can't. And notice, like, then you got a wristband in the Houston game. It's honestly...
Yeah, the Houston game, all of a sudden that he had a wristband was crazy.
Right.
That, like, where was that before that? I remember saying that.
You would think that you would spend all of that practice time working on all of that stuff and not having to use... And this is a bigger thing for me. This is why players need to play in preseason games.
Oh, God.
Because things like this can get fixed. When you're playing in a game and you're going, you know, I would like to have a little bit of more autonomy, or I want to have this available to me to call plays when I don't. Like, that to me is what this is to me, is a lot of little things slipping through the cracks.
So, wait a minute. You're the mayor of Worrytown.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you, I'm considering a short-term rental in Concernville.
Right next door.
Yeah.
Right across the river.
I've gone ahead and signed a lease on that. I'm not buying property in Worrytown, and I'm sorry, because I know that would up your business.
I guess I'm just going to have to go to London for the Bears game and try and get some business for Worrytown.
By the way, I thought it was out of line when you built your wife a $80,000 office.
I thought it was out of line, too. And I mean, look.
In Worrytown.
I went and got my head shaved today for like $40, $300,000 for a year.
for hair and makeup?
I got my own makeup from my time doing television.
Sure.
So I got that covered. Okay. I've been talking with the people in the stream on Twitch saying, look, that's $300,000 that I just saved you.
I think
in my pocket.
I think they're still going to win this game. I think they're going to win this game, and I think that Mercedes and the staff have perhaps saved Shane Waldron, not Reardon, from being quite as bad as he was. But I'm going to go ahead and rent some space in Concernville, because the big picture. Man, it is a little frightening to think about the big picture. And both of those games, both of those losses, the Colts loss and even the Texans loss, where the defense did a magical job and handed the offense the ball with a chance to tie or win the game at the end. If you add your bleep together as an offense from the get-go, then maybe you win one of those two games, either one, or you could have won both of those two games, and then all of a sudden you're the story and not the Vikings.
Let me add another layer to this. This is also a place where your CEO head coach should be walking around and going, Shane, what are you doing? Why don't we have a script of plays that we're going to run to begin the game because we've game planned for the Titans.
Did Getsy have a first 15? And did Eberflus know that Getsy had a first 15 and not know that Waldron didn't have a first 15?
Almost every play caller has something. And look, it varies.
Bill Walsh invented it.
It varies. You're not just going to run the script, especially if things change inside of it. But these are the plays that we can count on. You're not scrambling through the Rolodex of plays. Ugh. You have what is your identity there on your script.
Yeah, it's a little scary. And now and this is taking me back to Softy Mahler from Seattle saying, I don't know what people like about Shane Waldron. I don't see anything. He's not head coaching material. There's nothing about him that screams head coach in terms of organization.
Well, the thing that might scream head coach is him listening and adapting. So there's that. Like, if you want something to pull from it, it's what you said at the beginning.
It's a good thing.
They were adults, but that lack of detail is concerning. It's concerning. We've got some interesting baseball news that we need to share with you.
Yeah, because Tom Ricketts wrote a letter. Megan Montemurro, in her article in the Tribune, said that the Cubs were over the collective balance tax by $280,000, which is an unbelievably small amount. And if this is true, that seems really dumb to go over the tax in a year where you don't make the playoffs and only have it be by that much. So now you have to fall prey to the repeater tax next year?
Well, Bruce Levine has been on this. So we're going to talk with Bruce next, and he's going to tell us what he's learned, what's true and what's not. Don't go anywhere. That's next here on The Score.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.